So my view on that is the best time to fix a roof is when the sun's shining. And the sun is definitely shining at the moment. We're going through, within the London market, it's probably one of the best few years that the market's ever seen. According to John Neal, it's the best year since 2007, so over two decades. I think the best time to fix things is now.
Welcome and good morning, good evening, wherever you are and whatever you are up to. Matthew Grant here, but another week off for me on the podcast as Robin Mertens is your host today. But I have not been idle. We've just released an article I wrote, 15 ways to become the perfect panel host. Might be something useful in there for you if you're hosting or even just a guest on a panel discussion. You can find that on LinkedIn or on our website. And there's going to be a link in the episode notes. Now, I know you're also going to enjoy hearing from Danny Katz, co-founder of Optalytics. Now, we're hearing more and more these days about underwriting workbenches and algorithmic underwriting, and this is a chance to learn directly from a company that is one of the leaders in that field, along with Danny's own personal experience as a founder. And if you haven't already discovered what we're up to at Instech, and we're a whole lot more than just podcasts, do take a look at our website, www.instech.co, to see our content, events, and interviews. The website has been rebuilt. You can now quickly find what you need, test out the search bar on there, see what we've been up to, and do take a look out for events, maybe one coming to you soon. Well, we're delighted to have Optalytics as one of our members, so time for me to get out of the way and hand over to Robin and Danny.
Instech podcast time again, and this weekend we have got Danny Katz with us. Danny is the co-founder and a director of Optalytics.
Thank you, Robin. Great to be here. I've been listening to your podcast for a long time and I love them.
Danny, thanks for joining us. Look, we're going to go right to the beginning of the Optalytics story. You're a co-founder, so you're the perfect person to tell us about the origins of the company. When did you form it and why?
My background is I'm an actuary. I've worked with insurance for over 30 years, mainly in insurance price and underwriting departments. And I saw the changes that were coming out across the insurance industry, the opportunity to use data to really boost business performance while I was working for Vitality. And I discussed it with John, who's my co-founder. John is a software engineer who's worked with insurers and banks implementing systems for many years. We decided there was a real business opportunity to create something valuable for insurers, and we set up Optalytics in 2013. Originally, we were set up as a software company to focus on using AI and analytics to optimize business performance, hence the name Optalytics, which is shortened from optimization analytics, which is our core purpose.
Interesting. Am I right in saying that Vitality is still a customer after all those years?
Absolutely. They are still a customer. They're one of our highly valued customers because they were our first one. And we work quite closely with them.
Well, you must be doing something right. So you start out with that idea. What did you then actually build? What would you call your first products?
When we started out, we realized the value of data and we wanted to apply it. And we worked on a number of interesting projects, focusing on insurance and retention and pricing. And we were early cloud adopters. And while we're building these bespoke software projects, we realized the biggest blocker for these companies was converting these spreadsheets. And while many modelers understood their models in Excel, they really struggled to convert them into something which can be used in a standard system. So effectively using the standard programming tools was really hard for them to do. We found some models took 3 months to convert, requiring back and forth with the developer. And the costs of doing this often ruined the economics of the projects we were working on. So we really had to find a solution. Our first software product to do this was Optalytics models, which effectively allowed the modelers now to instantly convert their spreadsheet models and provided APIs to developers who could then focus on the core software build while the modelers focused on updating and enhancing their models. And we've expanded beyond spreadsheets into Python and R and other things. But the original source was spreadsheets, solving that spreadsheet problem.
You talk about spreadsheet problem. When I'm talking about spreadsheet problems, I'm talking about something completely different. It drives me mad that we see spreadsheets as a data migration tool and that import something into a spreadsheet and move it around. You're talking about spreadsheets for their original purpose of formulas and being able to play with data. In that sense, are they ever going to go away? People like you then make them highly usable and they had a certain sort of democratized usage, would you say they should be encouraged?
I think spreadsheets are important to business. They hold incredibly important IP and they're easy for business people to code. It's like a language. It's like English. English is known as like one of the important languages within the internet, and lots of people talk to each other using that language. Spreadsheets have a similar language. They help people to do things like calculate pricing for insurance, calculate different kinds of values for capital, etc. And the reason it's important is because so many people understand them. 800 million people in the world are able to code and use spreadsheets. And there are only 30 million developers in the world that code in other languages like Python and C# and R and all those other things. So we do need the spreadsheets as a core language that people understand. However, we also need a way to use them in our core cloud infrastructure in a better way that makes them scalable, that makes them stable, that applies governance to them.
Yeah, it all sounds very pragmatic. That's a nice observation. Good stats. Look, you've been around 11 years. That you've seen spreadsheets and their usage kind of evolve over that time. Any other observations on what's changed, what progress we've made on digitization over these last 11 years?
So our view at Optalytics is that while digital development within the insurance industry is starting to speed up, we've barely got started with most of the companies we're dealing with. Underwriting is still mostly done on standalone spreadsheets, we noted earlier. And cloud adoption within companies is quite fragmented. So some companies are doing very well within pockets of the business, but very few companies have adopted cloud across the entire business. So we think there's a lot more that can be done. And the power of the cloud, the power of the scalability and the connections and the APIs and all these additional applications that it can bring will completely transform insurance. Places like the London market where things are really, I think, still got a long way to go, will completely change, allowing data to flow more quickly. It's taken a long time, but it's definitely starting to happen a lot quicker.
I'm going to challenge you a little bit on that, as is the nature of our podcast. But you say quicker. Are you damning with faint praise a bit there, in the sense that progress has been, I was going to say glacial, but a little bit better than that, and it's now started to accelerate. Is that fair?
I think the way things happen in technology is it happens really slowly initially. Everything just seems like it's not really changing. And then suddenly it speeds up really, really quickly. It's an example of that is AI. We've heard about AI for years and years, and suddenly it's there and things are happening at incredible speed. I think the same thing applies with digitization in insurance. We've been talking about it for years. We've been talking about how nothing much is happening. But from what I'm seeing and from the companies I'm talking to, and we're talking to pretty much everyone in the London market and outside, people are looking to do a lot of stuff a lot more quickly than they have in the past.
I know what's going to happen. I'm going to work in the front line for 25 years. Absolutely nothing's going to happen. I'm going to get frustrated, give up, and then it'll all happen in the immediate 2 years after I retire and go and play golf or something. There's another question which I have, which is slightly related to this, which is the part of the market cycle where you think that adoption and progress is quickest. And let me make the point slightly different way. Do you find it's easier to sell what you do in a world where profits are booming, the market has money, or does it say at that point, why do we need to be more efficient? We're making bundles anyway. Or when they're in a bit of bother and they need to be more efficient and they recognize they need to be more efficient, but they haven't got any money. Have you any observations there?
So my view on that is the best time to fix a roof is when the sun's shining. And the sun is definitely shining at the moment. We're going through, within the London market, it's probably one of the best few years that the market's ever seen. According to John Neal, it's the best year since 2007, so over two decades. I think the best time to fix things is now. There are going to be one or two more years, I think, maybe 3 years of hard markets. And during that time, there are going to be a lot of new players that are going to be jumping in. We've already seen this year four new players within the London market. I'm sure that's going to increase over time. That means that in order to compete when the markets soften, it's critical to get the digital infrastructure in place now so you get the insight, you get the competitive pricing in place so you can compete when the markets soften.
I think you've just given us our podcast strap line. Fix the roof when the sun is shining. I think that you'll see more about that one. You talked about digital infrastructure and back to Optalytics and the product set that you have. You were in our Underwriter Workbench report, which we published a couple of weeks ago. So you clearly have an underwriter workbench. Is that an area of real interest now? Is it people being interested or people are adopting it? Where do you see the sort of demand curve?
Underwriting workbenches is definitely a very hot topic right now. Every insurer we're speaking with has a project underway to look into it. Very few of them seem to have found a working solution, which I guess is understandable given the complexity involved. So they're all trying out different ways to do it. Our underwriting workbench focuses on the three key players involved in the pricing process. We see the underwriter as the most important player. They're kind of the people that are doing the pricing at the moment, the operational people. The actuaries and pricing people that are part of it and are managing the models and the pricing systems around it. And then the chief executives, and they want to make sure that what's happening on the ground floor matches their risk appetite and their expectations. We need to understand from their side as well, and we need to make sure our products are able to implement their insights. Now, our workbench embeds pricing models into the system itself, ensuring the data is captured only once, and allows insights to be available during the pricing process. We allow any pricing model to be used, Excel, Python, and R natively, and any other API model can be connected. And I guess, importantly, we're an API-first company. We connect our pricing models and underwriting workbenches to any external source that has an API, such as placement platforms, databases, company systems, external data sources. So underwriting workbenches is something that we're focusing on. We've got a roadmap to focus on things like actuarial and risk elements of pricing to make sure that we enhance it even more.
Look, the other area which we see as super hot, probably top of the list right now with underwriting workbenches being second, is this whole issue of algorithmic underwriting generally, and then by extension, the smart follow underwriting. In other words, algorithmic selection of risks that have already been priced for syndication. Does that provide you with opportunity? Have you changed your business in any way?
Algorithmic underwriting, in our view, is going to be a part of the Lloyd's market and is a growing part of it. It's not going to be the whole of the Lloyd's market. Obviously, you still need the lead underwriters. But we do think it's an exciting new area for Lloyd's. And of course, we've enabled this in our platform, enabled our clients to be able to use it using any of their pricing or algorithmic models. We already have a smart follow syndicate using the platform, and we are in discussions with various marketplace platforms to enable algorithmic smart follow as well. So companies like Insurex that we're talking to and others.
And presumably there's an overall benefit to this too, in the sense that in order to play nicely in that space, you really have to have modernized your infrastructure. You have to be more dynamic with your data. It creates a kind of momentum for what we're talking about.
Yes. I think the ability of data to flow quickly through a system and to have algorithms run on it and get insights from it means that suddenly transactions are going to happen a lot quicker. Insights are going to be available sooner to underwriters and to brokers. And the market is going to operate at a much faster speed than it has before. The starting point is actually just more people. It's going to be easier to find capacity for brokers in the market, but as it progresses, I think there are going to be new opportunities coming up as companies digitize more and as underwriters learn to use these new systems better.
Let's hope. I agree with you completely. Continuing with the points you've made earlier, you're in the cloud, you're completely cloud first. You went Google and your estate sits in the Google infrastructure. What was the thinking there?
So we really liked the way Google Cloud thought about cloud computing, how they were really leading the way with scalable systems and their approach to Kubernetes and Docker, which is a way to make systems scale a lot quicker, and as well as the AI that they built into their systems and the facilities they made available for that type of implementation. They've also been an immense help to us with engineering advice and AI insights in building our platform. So we really liked the whole Google Cloud platform, and we went with them.
Well, Nigel will be one of our first listeners. He'll be very happy. And then you're also a member of the Google Marketplace, and I've told Nigel before that I don't think he makes much noise about it. What is it, and why did you join it?
We really like the Google Cloud Marketplace. It's a market for companies with applications running on Google Cloud that have been effectively pre-vetted by Google. So Google checks that the companies can do what they say they do. Clients using Google Cloud get discounted access to valuable enterprise-grade applications that are on the cloud. And they're already, over 20 insurance-focused SaaS products on the Google Cloud Marketplace. So it's an exciting starting and growing market where there's a lot happening.
Sounds to me like they need someone to organize some events for them.
Definitely.
Look, we've talked mostly about commercial specialty market because that's where the two sort of hottest themes are right now. But you don't just play there. You're in the retail general insurance space. You talked about Vitality. Anything interesting you'd like to pull out in that space?
Yes, we recently set up a partnership with Quanti. They are a generalized linear modeling capability. It's the way to price high volume products like motor, home, travel in competitive marketplaces that uses very sophisticated statistical algorithms. And it's something which very few companies are able to do. There are very few software providers in the world that are able to do it. Quanti is one of them. We really like the way they work, the ease with which their product can be set up. And what we also like is the fact that working with them, we're able to offer products that are accessible to companies that are operating in the high volume insurance space.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And then perhaps a little bit about you. We talked about Optalytics. In my experience, co-founders and founders don't get much spare time. But if you do, how do you spend your spare time?
I set up a charity a number of years back that provides respite care for special needs children, for kids that require a little bit more care than others might do. And the respite is for the parents to be able to take a little bit of time off to relax a little bit and do the things that they normally do. I set it up originally as my wife and I had a tough experience with our daughter. We wanted to make sure that other people also caring for special needs kids could get the help they really needed and get the time they needed to refocus on the rest of the family and the things that are important and get a break and get a bit more energy to continue with what is quite a tough job that they've got looking after these children.
Wow. Well done for that. And lots of people have these noble thoughts and then don't do anything about it, but well done. I will ask you one more question if you don't mind. If you have a personal experience like and have children with special needs and it's very demanding, has that informed your work life balance? Do you see your personal and your work life in a slightly different way as a result of that experience?
Without a doubt, that experience changed me. No question. It I guess the key thing it taught me is the importance of family, the importance of things outside of work, as well as the stuff inside of work to take your mind off of things. One of the things it taught me is the importance of time. Sometimes things need to happen really quickly in order to avoid things going wrong. And sometimes more time is needed for change to settle in, for you to get used to different, potentially difficult things that are going on in your life. It changed my life in quite significant ways.
I could do a whole podcast on that, but that's not what you're here to talk about. Let's go back to business. You and Optalytics operate in a crowded space. You've got quite a lot of competition. I give you the chance to make your sales pitch. What would you give as the main reason why someone would go to Optalytics or else?
I would say there are three main reasons. Number one is our people who are insurance and pricing experts. We understand the business of insurance as well as anyone we hire from the insurance industry. We love making our clients succeed and we'll do everything we can to make it happen. Number two is our product, which we think is unique in the way it uses pricing models embedded in the workbench itself, embedded in the systems itself, with flexible workflow capability that incorporates the insights that we're getting from the models in the underwriting process. And I guess, finally, we understand the actuarial and risk aspects of pricing and incorporated those risk insights into our dashboards and management information to provide some real insight, not just for the underwriters who assessing those risks, but also for the executives that are looking over everything, giving them effectively a control panel across the entire business.
Good pitch. I normally probe at this point and see whether you're able to name any clients. We've named Vitality. Are there any other current customers that you're able to name?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, as you said, first client was Vitality and they remain with us now. We have over 20 core clients, which include companies like GoCompare, where we support over 150 UK insurance brands on their behalf, including companies like Esure and UKI. We work with Lloyd's of London, where syndicates like Hiscox and Beazley and all the other syndicates use our portals to report on their claims for global catastrophes. And then, of course, there are companies like Dell, Puri, Hamden Risk Partners, who use our underwriting workbench to price their business and to run things as they go.
Well, that's also impressive. And then, look, finally, because we always ask this question, and I think it's a good way to end up. If listeners take one thing away from this podcast, what would you like it to be?
I would say it's that it's easier than you think to change your pricing and underwriting processes. It shouldn't be a 3 or 4 year project that has lots of risk. It can be done a lot quicker with the latest technology, with the latest tools that are available, and it's very important to do it now as the market digitizes and you need to be part of that new digital ecosystem.
We are influenced by what I call scar tissue. If only anyone knew how easy it is to do now versus how difficult it was to do 5 years or 10 years ago when they first tried and spent a lot of money, I'm sure we would have much more enthusiasm and much more investment. You tell a good story. Danny, thank you very much for joining us and telling us all about Optolytics. Really good luck with your charity. And thank you so much for joining me.
Really appreciate it. It's great talking to you again, Robin.
Well, every founder's story is fascinating, and we are delighted to be working with so many individuals that have founded successful businesses over the last few years. And if you are running a technology business yourself and you want to learn more about some of our founder-only events, let us know, and you can also ask us any questions about becoming a corporate member, whoever you are in those organizations. Or if you work in insurance and, like many others, you're being encouraged to get closer to what is happening in technology, then you're welcome to join us at our afternoon and evening events. Details of all of this, www.instec.co, and you can contact any of us, hello@instec.co, or you can find Robin Mertens or myself, Matthew Grant, on LinkedIn. That's it. We're done.